Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So, kind of as we open, what do we talk about when we talk about God? That's an easy question, right? What do we talk about when we talk about God? What comes to mind? Whoa! All right, there we go. You guys passed third grade Sunday school, right? Yeah, love. All right, what else? How do we talk about God? Forgiveness, Almighty, creation, yeah. The nature and attributes of God, nice, Jack, yeah. Everywhere, omnipresent, the omni words, right? Yeah. Nice, anything else? Any other thoughts? That assurance, right? The good old hymns that talk about, you know, blessed assurance, right? Yeah. Healing, creator. Nice, you guys are doing good. Right on. All right. So today in the life of the church, it is Trinity Sunday. So in Big Church Universal, we talk about Trinity Sunday. Pentecost was last week, and we had our young people sharing their creeds and things like that, where they were making all of those proclamations of, you know, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in everlasting life, those types of things. And so as we get to this week, you know, in talking about and kind of wrestling with this description or what we talk about when we talk about God, it kind of gives me like gives me pause, kind of like the way in which you begin, or at least, you know, some of the questions that I ask when I have the opportunity to share with family after a loved one passes. Because how do you really encapsulate the life of someone, and sometimes even those people that you don't know? You go, okay, so we have about an hour, hour and a half to summarize someone in this amount of time. And so you try, you know, it feels like this daunting, kind of impossible task. And you just come to this realization that there is parts of the person that you can't speak to, or that you can't capture in that limited amount of time. And I think that's kind of the same way that we have when we talk about God. We have to recognize and realize that we're not going to capture all of who God is and what God is in a conversation, but that's something that we will get to not in this life, but the life to come, right? There will be this fuller understanding. But as we do that, we recognize, too, that we have seen God move and act in different ways. And so one of those ways is what we celebrate today is the Trinity, is the way that we do this kind of Christian math where there's, you know, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, right? And, you know, you do that math, and it's fantastic, and it's hard to deal with sometimes because, you know, sometimes we see Jesus and we, you know, I have friends who say, I just like the red letters in my Bible. I just like what Jesus does. And sometimes it's easier to connect with Jesus because we make this statement that Jesus was fully human and fully God, and that Jesus is this one that's more tangible. Jesus is incarnate, right? Incarnate. He puts on the meat of humanity. And so as we look at that and look at the way that relationship with Jesus as the Son, and then God the Father or the loving parent is there, and then there's this other thing. But before we get there, you know, there was all this debate when there was this kind of formulation of how does this thing of the Trinity work? Was God the Father, the Godhead, just so absolutely holy that God's majesty — you have to do spirit fingers when you say majesty when you're talking about God, okay? Okay, so God's majesty is so great that it just overflows, kind of like a fountain, right? That overflows, and then there is this person of Jesus that was created, and then Jesus's majesty, so a little bit less, right? Majesty, was so great, though, that the Holy Spirit was birthed out of that. And so we have this kind of three-tiered understanding of who God is. Is that the way it works? Is Jesus just kind of a similar substance of who God is? Now, this was the debate, man. This was this, like, hugely, like, divisive thing when we were making up the Nicene Creed, where Arius said that there was this kind of similar way that Jesus is kind of like God, okay? Homoousion is the word. And then, the others then, the kind of Athanasius and his crew said, no, that's not the way it works, that Jesus is on the same plane as God, the Father, the loving parent, and so is the Spirit then, the homoousion with an A-N is the area similar, and then the same is O-N. And there's this, like, all this debate about this one stinking letter, similar or the same, and everything else. And I think that, you know, we debate about this so much as we talk about the Trinity and how we approach God, because what we find is that there's not this kind of totem pole holiness that God has. Otherwise, man, I don't know that we would take our time to you know, pray to Jesus so much, but we just go right up to the top of the food chain, right? But also, when we even out that playing field, what we recognize is that then, because there's no power dynamic, there can be honest and open relationship. And so that there are these things that we talk about, and a few weeks ago, the Pope, so you know it's got to be good, used a fidget spinner to represent the way that the Trinity works. And it's brilliant. I think this might be the best use of a fidget spinner ever. They should just say theological learning device right here and throw the rest away, okay? Because they shouldn't be allowed in schools unless we're talking about, okay, Jesus and everything else. But what it is if you've never seen one of these before, is that there are three bearings on the outside that then this thing spins. But the idea is, if we think about it like this and kind of like that illustration right there, right? That one of these bearings will be God the Father, the, you know, kind of what we think about as God Creator, and then Jesus, or the Redeemer, and then the third one is the Sustainer, or the Holy Spirit, as we kind of traditionally have them with. And the idea is that if we look at it in this kind of context as everybody's the same, you know, and we then recognize that in the middle, though, there's this fourth bearing that we can't really see, and I like that a lot more, because that's like the mystery that we just can't understand about God. And so sometimes front and center, we'll see, you know, one of the persons of the Spirit, but back behind there, they're not disconnected from that Spirit of who God is, but there's this mutual, what we call a perichoresis, or this mutual indwelling, this divine dance that happens. Doesn't that sound awesome? Like, that sounds way cooler than that diagram right there. There's this divine dance that happens between God and God's self that allows us to see the nature and character of God in new and exciting ways, so that we can be the people who say, look at how big, amazing, creative, loving, compassionate, healing our God is. And so the spinner part is that this is kind of how God works most of the time, is that we can't really tell a difference from one to another, but they can also interact and move distinctly in and among and through our space and understanding. And so that scripture that Aaron read for us today, okay, we see those three at work, and we see it throughout the entirety of scripture, not just in the New Testament. I promise you that even in the very, very beginning of the creation story, we see all three of the persons of God moving and acting with this collective that happens during creation. But I'm just going to read you. So here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to, when God the Father, as we traditionally talk about God, is moving, I want you just to point up like this, okay? Beware of the people next to you, though. Okay, so when I mention something that God the Father would be doing, God the Creator, whatever, you just point up. Got it? Okay, let's try it. So if we talk about God, that loving parent, God the Father, you do what? Yeah, most of you got it. There we go. Okay, now if it's a Jesus thing, what do you think we do for Jesus thing? I don't know, but I think some of you are trying to teach me to steal second. Okay, so we're just going to put our arms out, no, this like a cross, okay? Can we do that? Oh, that seems good. Okay, and then you go from cross. If it's the Holy Spirit, are you ready for this? Oh, Barry, I like yours. I was going to go like this, right, for like the dove, or you can go like this. I like Barry's better. Okay, so here we go. At that time, so we're talking about, you guys are giving me all kinds of signs now, and I think some of them might be inappropriate. So this is John the Baptist coming and baptizing with water, okay? And he recognized that this is not the same kind of baptism that Jesus is going to bring. Yeah, some of you got it. You're playing along. Because Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, good. Okay, here we go. You're never going to read this scripture the same. So at that time, Jesus came from Galilee, there we go, to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "No, I should be baptized to you, yet you come to me." Jesus answered, there we go, all right, going down south a little bit more, answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary for us to fulfill the righteousness." And so John agreed and baptized Jesus, and when he was baptized, he immediately came out of the water, and the heavens opened up, and he saw the spirits coming down like a dove, resting on him. I like that language, resting on him. Remember last week when we talked about Pentecost, what happened? Tongues of fire were resting on the believers. Yeah. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my," except you got to talk like James Earl Jones, "This is my son." That's more like Simba. This is my son who I dearly love. I find happiness in him, or the one who I am well pleased, right? But you see what's going on, that the different persons of God are working for this one act that allows then us to understand that they are separate but moving in the same direction. And so never, ever, ever will we see the Son moving away from the Spirit and be divided, because God moves in this same place. And so we see that time and time again, this way in which God then takes God's self and moves in powerful ways. And so for the next couple of weeks or so, we're going to be taking a look at this thing called the Holy Spirit, recognizing that when we, okay, you can stop the hand signs. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about the Trinity. We talk about God. It is not separated one from another. And so we talk about the Spirit as being that one who opens us up to the power and presence of God and God's self. Okay? And so for those next couple of weeks, one of the authors that I read this week said this, because here's, I think, gets to the crux of the matter about why the Spirit matters. And so Stanley Hauerwas and Will Willimon said this, Christians are people who dare to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, that is, live lives out of control. Coming to God dependently, empty-handed, lives driven by and accountable to something more interesting than ourselves. Isn't that neat? Accountable to something that is more interesting than ourselves. And so what we recognize as we kind of reflect on Scripture and things like that is that John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, would say that the real work of the Holy Spirit begins at our sanctification, that Jesus works a whole lot because of that cross on justification, forgiving the sins. But that's not where our faith ends. If that's where our faith ended, man, I could preach the same exact sermon every single week, doing the same exact thing. You know, you're saved, you've got fire insurance from going to hell, and you are good to go, and then just bring on the new crop of folks. But the real life, that life abundant that Jesus talks about, starts and begins with this understanding that the Spirit empowers us, that there is this empowerment that happens, that we move on towards perfection, as Wesley would have said. And the more that the Spirit gets into us, the more power and life and awareness we have in what God is up to in our lives. So think about this. Think about a glove that you may have at home, whether that be a glove that you use to lift weights or a glove that you use to work on the car, whatever else, right? Now, if we were to just take that glove, and let's do this, and just sit it here. Now, this glove is the one that I use at the yard or whatever else, and it protects my hands, but also gives me better grip. Now, if I were to ask that glove to pick up that candle, it'd be ridiculous to just expect that glove to work like that, right? To do that good thing of picking up that candle. But the way that we talk about the Spirit empowering us or being there with us is that the Spirit first has to get into us and empower us then to do those good things. Now the glove can live into its purpose and promise in what God has made it for or what it has been made for. So too with us. that we live into that purpose and promise and the power that God has when we invite that Spirit to come in and we say, and maybe the most powerful prayer that the church universal can pray is, come Holy Spirit, come. Come into and empower each and every one of us. Because once that starts to happen, things start to move and change and start to act in ways in which we would never have experienced before. But just because the Spirit is resting on us doesn't mean we are making use of it, okay? And so some of the kids saw my other props that I had today, and they were like, oh my goodness, what's that stuff? And they miss out because they're in children's ministry. But we're going to pretend that we're doing children's ministry here today, okay? And one of the best illustrations, because it has to do with milk, and we don't do milk too often in our family, okay, is this. Raise your hand if you like chocolate milk. Okay. Whoa, wow. All right. Here we go. So one of the best illustrations I had was that the Holy Spirit coming into us, inviting us, and empowering us is kind of like the chocolate syrup going into the milk, right? All right. There we go. That's our prayer right there. God, just keep going. All right, but now the Spirit rests upon us, and it is there, and that is chocolate and milk, right? But it's not chocolate milk, right? It's chocolate in milk. Don, chocolate in milk, okay? And so what has to happen? You got to shake it up, right? You got to stir it up. And so there's that second passage of Scripture that Aaron talked to us about where you know, 2 Timothy says, therefore I remind you, stir up the gift that God has had in you through the laying on of hands that you have received. For God has not given this as a spirit out of the spirit of fear, but power and love and of sound mind. So what happens is that Paul's reminding Timothy that you have this gift of the Spirit. But if you don't do anything with it, here's what you're going to look like. Okay? You've got it. I've got the gift. Here it is. It's great. Now, if you start drinking the milk, what's it going to taste like? Regular old milk, man. Okay? But when you start to stir it up, what happens? Oh, that's called delicious right there. Okay? And it's probably 80% chocolate, too. All right? Boom. Right? Stir up that gift that you have been blessed with so that now that is a delicious treat right there, friends. Oh, man. Set that glass in some ice ready. It's been there for about an hour. It's good stuff. Okay? Jack, can you take care of that after church for me? Okay, thank you. But now if we let that sit, what's going to happen? Well, it'll spoil. Thanks, Barry. Right? But it's gonna settle down, right? And so it may still look a little bit chocolatey, but all that chocolate goes to the bottom, doesn't it? And so daily, we need to make sure that we are stirring that Spirit. And there's this quote from John Wesley that I think is perfect for this, because even though it may still be a brown milk, it's not going to taste chocolatey at all, right? And so Wesley had this quote that is absolutely beautiful. He said, I'm not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist, either in Europe or America, but I am afraid least that they should only exist as a dead sect, having all the form of religion without the power. What he's saying is, I hope my Methodists never forget to stir the Spirit, because they will lose all their power that the church has ever had if they forget the gift, not the nature, but the gift that God has given them in the Spirit. And so that's what we have to do. We have to take heart for Paul's, you know, letter to Timothy saying every single day, man, you have to stir up this gift that was given to you, not out of a spirit of fear, but one of power. Because if we're not stirring that up, we lose all of our power. Now, Faith Point's been really intentional, and we're really proud of that spiritual growth pathway that, like, for the last 3 or 4 weeks or so, you've heard Dennis talk about before the worship pre-roll, talking about the way in which we grow in our faith by glorifying God, by growing and studying and praying, and by giving with a grateful heart, and by going and sharing that word. Because we know that these are four dynamic areas in which we are able to have that personal holiness, as Wesley would say, but also we have a responsibility to social holiness and making sure that we keep both in check. And so this week, I would love for you to consider the ways in which the Spirit might be stirred up in your life this summer, not just this week, but this summer, how can you make a plan that says, I am going to glorify, grow, give, go, one, all of those things in a way that I will come to God empty-handed, expecting the Spirit to work, expecting to pray that prayer, come, Holy Spirit, come, so that I might be filled up to be poured out tomorrow, stirring up the Spirit in our lives, not just letting it rest on us. Does that sound like a thing that's doable? Or are we just good where we are? Man, come, Holy Spirit, come. So we're going to take just 1 minute because I want you to kind of let that sink in a little bit more. And before we go, you know, just kind of pause where you are. We're going to have a little prayer today, but you can pray this with me kind of at your seats where you would like. But maybe this is the first time that you thought about committing to the Holy Spirit or committing to God, right? Because when we talk about the Spirit, we talk about the Trinity, we talk about God. Maybe it's the first time, maybe you're coming back for a season of renewal or whatever else. But just where you are, if you want to pray this prayer with me, I would encourage you to do so. But let's just pause. Loving God, pour your Spirit into me. Let me respond to its movements for the first time or renewed time. In this season, work in a new and exciting way as I glorify, grow, give, and go with my whole self for your kingdom. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Let's stand and sing one final song, and then we are going to pray over Josh and Jack when we're done.